Good morning, Jamie, and listeners.
So, Angela, why is it that diabetes is growing so quickly in Australia?
A lot of it's to do with type 2 diabetes, and that's the diabetes that you often hear in the media as portrayed as being, oh, well, you caused it yourself because you put on too much weight around your middle. But there's a story behind that, and the story is that there's risk factors for getting type 2 diabetes. We know that if you've got a family history of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, you're more likely to get it. We know as you get older, you're more likely to get it. We know if you come from certain cultural groups, especially Indigenous populations, with a modest weight gain around your middle, you're more likely to get it. So they're the risk factors that we talk about that we can't do anything about. You can't stop getting old and you can't change where you come from. But what's happening as a society is we're changing how we live. And so that's the lifestyle component of diabetes. That's the part that we've got control over and we can make better choices. So if we do put on weight around our middle, it's going to increase the risk of getting that diabetes much earlier in life, which means you're going to have it for a lot longer and you're more likely to end up with those complications.
Because you're talking there about those kind of hereditary, those hereditary factors which contribute to type 2 diabetes.
That's very much the case.
But yep. I imagine if you were to look at young Australians, there would probably also be an increase in diabetes in young Australians, and surely that would be coming from these lifestyle factors, you know, be it alcohol or junk food or processed foods that we're eating. Is that right?
But that's the trigger. So, you know, deep down they've got this tendency to get it because they've got a family history of it. They may not even know their family history, you know, if they're younger Australians. And I guess that's what I've seen in my career as an educator. When I started back in the very late 70s, we saw, it was called mature onset diabetes back then, type 2 diabetes. And it was, you know, it was predominant in people over the age of 65. You know, you didn't see anyone younger than that. Today, now, we have kids as young as, you know, 10 with type 2 diabetes. But what it is they've got that risk factor to get it. But because of their lifestyle changes that they have made and that weight gain that's made them insulin resistant and, you know, they're not moving as much, they're eating poor, you know, making poor food choices, all these things contribute to that diabetes, type 2 diabetes, being triggered off much earlier. And you know, we're seeing now a lot more people being diagnosed in their 20s, 30s and 40s, not just in their 60s, 70s and 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose you're talking there, as I mentioned, your junk food, your lack of exercise. Are there any other factors that, you know, young, kind of middle-aged Australians might not think about that could be causing this type 2 diabetes?
The problem is we don't think about it. We just like to live our great lifestyle. And, you know, there's lots of information in the media now about, you know, eating sensibly. Everyone's got, the best fad diet coming out, at every point.
Hey, Angela, have you tried the 5-2 diet? It's great.
I did try them for a little. I like to try them all just to see if they work. But at the end of the day, it comes down to sensible eating, making good, healthy food choices, drinking water as your primary source of fluids. Moving more. People think, oh my God, I've got to go to the gym and that's the only exercise I can do. But it's just moving more all day, every day. Doing, you know, kids don't walk to school like they used to when I was a kid. You know, we get driven everywhere. We sit all of the time. You know, I went to a presentation not long ago that a heart doctor said, sitting is worse than anything as a contributing factor to these.
Well, sitting's the new smoking, isn't it, Angela?
It's worse than smoking.
Oh, my God. Imagine sitting down and smoking.
And you sit and smoke. Oh, God.
Angela, if you've just joined us, I'm here with Angela Blair. She is a diabetes educator from Diabetes New South Wales, talking to us about this massive new risk, which a lot of us might not be thinking about. So, Angela, if someone was thinking, oh, you know, I'm feeling out of sorts, what are the signs that they could have diabetes?
Okay, when we talk about diabetes as such, we're still talking about type 2 diabetes. I'll talk about type 1 if you want me to. But type 2 diabetes is the one that's, you know, growing in these epidemic proportions. The first step is know your risk. So there's a great little tool on our website at diabetesnewsouthwales.com.au that's called the OSD risk tool. And you can go in there and it's a numbers game. You know, you put in what your not preventable risk factors are, such as your age and where you come from. And then you put in some other important information about how often you exercise, what your consumption of fruit and veg and things like, and water and things like that. And it gives you a rating, and that rating is what you take then to your doctor to have your regular blood test. You know, I like to talk to people about taking action. You know, our health is our own responsibility. So if we don't go to the doctor and have our regular checkups, then we don't know what's wrong with us.
Mm.
Once we know what our risk factors are, you know, little changes can have great results. So if people just choose to make healthier food choices the majority of the time, you know, you can still have the treats and all the extra bits, but don't do it, you know, as the majority. Do it as very much the minority. Move more, just move more every day.
Mm.
Take that 5 minutes, you know, every, you know, half hour to an hour, and get up and move around if you're sitting at a sedentary job.
Angela, you're talking...
All these little changes make a big difference.
You're talking there about going to diabetesnewsouthwales.com.au to find out your rating. How long does that take?
Oh, minutes.
You know what I'm going to do? After this interview, I'm going to go and find out what my rating is, and I'm going to read it out live on air, and I'm really worried about this. Angela, if people, you know, are starting to feel, you know, lethargic, those kind of symptoms that are, you know, that they could perhaps have diabetes, what should they do?
Okay, the symptoms of diabetes are all because the blood glucose level is becoming too high. And so the first symptom is often going to the toilet a bit more frequently. They might be tired. The symptoms I'm talking about in type 2 diabetes, some people don't even have symptoms because their blood glucose level goes up so slowly that their body accommodates for that. So you can't just trust how you feel. It's really important that you have those regular checkups to make sure that your blood glucose levels, your blood pressure, your cholesterol levels are all within the target range. If you have got symptoms, straight to the doctor. Go to that GP and say, look, I think I've got, you know, something wrong with me. Or here's my risk factors. I'm quite high. Can I have a test for diabetes?
Angela,
type 2 diabetes.
It has been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. I'm going to let you know how that rating goes, okay?
I'd like an email.
Oh,
I'm in Newcastle.
It depends how it goes, all right?
No, but I'm a very good educator, so you ring me if you need some support.
I can tell. Angela Blair, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.